When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
DT!
Seb, you legend.
My man, how are you?
I'm good, my friend. It's been so long.
Oh my God, it's been too long. How have you been, buddy?
Well, man, I was trying to think just before we got on. How are we talking 15 years?
Crazy, man. Half life in the other side of the world, man. Yeah. It's so good to see you.
Yeah, likewise, man. Germany, it's brutal at the moment because it's winter. It's like it's quite a hard winter, yeah. This one. It's probably the coldest I've experienced here.
Yeah.
But you always spring to mind because I remember when we were back in the day, you and I used to have conversations about like sort of bigger things and bigger like not to criticize the architecture world too much, but obviously there's things I like about architecture and things I didn't get from 100%. The industry. Yeah. Same with you at the industry. And I think we were at this similar point.
Correct,
we used
correct.
To talking kind of an entrepreneurial way. Do you remember that?
100%. I mean, don't get me wrong, but back then we were all still very young and naive at the same time. but at the same time, I think sometimes it's when you're young and naive that you are able to sort of take the leap of faith. Because in so many ways, you've got less to lose, right?
Absolutely, man. Absolutely. We were young because it was so young. We were finding our way. Right. It was so long
ago. We are still young.
We are still young. No, I firmly believe like when you kind of, you know, you're aligned with the stuff you want to do, it keeps us young. Our kids keep us young, but make us old at the same time.
Correct. 100%. Yes, definitely. Well, we've had many conversations in between. Yes.
But I'm interested, what were your, what did you like and what did you dislike about the architecture industry back then?
Man, I wouldn't say that I dislike. I would say that I like and I love a lot of aspect of architecture. I mean, it was probably the only thing that I knew I was going to be good at and that I would enjoy a lot ever since I was a little kid. And it wasn't so much about architecture in itself. I mean, yes, the industry obviously comes with a lot of late nights and constant rush for deadlines and so on and so forth. But I mean, where we were working, it was a great place for me. I mean, it was a great place for everyone. You know, some of the friendship that you still hold so closely, we all met them at Dinkers, you know?
Yeah.
So I think there's so many aspects of architecture that I actually do love. I mean, despite the long hours and everything. It's something that I really enjoy. And if you ask me, do I still love architecture? I do. What I do not like, though, is the routine of the 9 to 5 or the 9 to 6 or the 9 to 10. The look at myself and I'm just thinking, man, as much as I love it, can I see myself doing it when I'm 60? I think that was one of the biggest sort of trigger. I'm like, this ain't for me.
It's interesting. Yeah. It's interesting you say that. I have exactly the same memory. I think as we get older, we realize just how fast time flies, and there's so many cliches around how precious time is. But I had that. It's funny you say that because I had exactly a very similar realization just watching and observing. But like you say, man, whatever industry I've been in a number of industries and jobs and things, but it's it's always about the people, to me.
Oh, 100%. And 100%.
That's why that was a very special time, because we had this group of people, you spend time in that environment.
We hang out, man, every Friday. We're at the pub.
We see each other more than our families at that time.
100%.
And the nature of the kind of the deadlines and everything. So we just had this awesome period of time with such a great group of people, and it was really, really special time. Yeah. And that's why I'm not like, I respect that time so much, because also there was, there's amazing projects in architecture, that office was trying to do progressive, sustainable work. They still do awesome work. So it's I have a huge amount of respect and lifelong friends,
as we
say. Yeah, but 100%. it's interesting. We had that same moment. So then when we when we departed and went off on our own journeys into different fields, when did Eternal Bridal come about? When did that start to happen? What did you do after Dink?
So there was a few factors that led to the change. So firstly was the internal realization, right, that something's got to change. There will be something bigger or more colorful outside of architecture. So that was the first criteria. The second thing that happened was in 2009, if you recall, maybe just after you left, Australia and globally went through a big GFC, financial crisis. And that's when the company that we were working for, I remember one morning we were called upon to the red area. I can't remember what's it called now, the central area where everyone gathered. And we're like, oh shit, things are not looking good. We never had a meeting on the Tuesday morning before. What's going on? And that's when they announced that 50% of the team would have to be cut because of the struggle that they were facing at that time. So at that time, we would have started Eternal Bridal already for about just a bit under 12 months. And it was predominantly online. So in towards the end of 2008, Linda and I, we were getting married. So we were obviously, just as any other couples in Australia would do, we would, plan for our wedding, look for the men's suit, the woman's dress, the bride's dress and everything. And it was during that period when we were planning that we realized that, hang on a minute, firstly, dresses are very expensive. Secondly, for what you're paying, it doesn't seem like, or at least to us, it doesn't seem like the retailers or the stores are giving you that attention for what you would probably want to feel, right, after spending that much money. So I think it was back in 2008 that we traveled back to China, where Lindo's family is from, because the younger brother is getting married. And I remember during the trip we were in China, we decided that, hey, you know what, let's go look at some dresses here as well, since we're here. And we're completely shocked with the difference between, I mean, the quality is the same up to a certain degree, but the pricing was just, it was just too far apart, right? And that's when we thought that, hey, maybe it's a good idea for us to start up something in Australia. And that's how we started Eternal Bridal. It was purely online. We did not have a store. Our first showroom was actually in our, at our garage in our place in Northcote. So every Saturday and Sunday, if there's people who wanted to look at some dresses, we have a few samples that were made available in the garage. We converted that into a little showroom. And that's how we started, man. And it wasn't until when 2009 happened, I think it was early in February or March, Lindo's job was made redundant. So we're there at a cross path where we go, all right, well, what are we going to do here? We've got something that we started. Mind you, it was tiny. It was at its infancy. It was, we didn't know where it was going to take us. And on the other side, you know, there's obviously the building industry, the design industry that we are both very passionate about. However, we also know that potentially in the future, every time if there's a GFC, potentially we will be amongst the first one to be cut. So we're at a crosstalk where we go, all right, do we continue in this industry? Or do we sort of take a leap of faith and continue to grow on what we started? That was the big milestone for us. Yeah.
I love it, man. You really, I didn't realize it was direct, like it was straight transition out of when we were working together. I just love that you guys took it into your own hands. And I actually thought when I was thinking about speaking to you, I thought, I wondered if it was your own experience going through your own wedding that sort of started to spark some, you know, because the fashion industry, you know, I don't know a whole heap about the kind of nuts and bolts of the fashion industry. I've experienced a little bit here just at events and things. But is the bridal side of things, the wedding side, is that like an island within the fashion industry, or it's as much a part of the big thing, if you know what I mean?
It is a bit of both. I mean, it's an island in a sense that, you know, there's only so many weddings happening around, you know, in Australia every year. So it's a very, very niche market. That's for sure. And the other tricky part about bridal is that, you know, as much as possible, you actually don't want to see repeat customer, because if you see repeat customer, that means that the marriage, you know, wouldn't have lasted, right?
Yes, I don't mean to laugh, but
I mean, that is true. I mean, so I think that's one of the things that is very unique for our industry, all right? Whereas if you operate a cafe, for example, Monday you come and you buy a cup of coffee, Tuesday you do the same thing. On Wednesday, when you're doing extra time, you might buy two cups. So there's the constant repeat of customer. So bridal is unique in that sense. But as far as fashion is concerned, fashion, it sort of crosses, and it there's a lot of overlay with a lot of things. So whether or not if it's bridal, whether or not if it's, you know, your daily wear, your evening wear, your formal wear, I mean, it crosses a lot of boundaries. So I think in that sense, you know, we are seeing definitely a lot of influence from your mainstream fashion to your, you know, your couture fashion, high artisans, streetwear. I mean, there's a lot of that elements that are all, you know, being inspired into what bridal collection is about as well.
I think the thing about a wedding is it's just so personal. So I imagine your clients, your customers, like it's such a personal and delicate thing, because they're not just
100%.
They're not just getting.
It's not just a garment.
No, it's not a garment. It's so much. And it's like in all aspects of wedding, like even if you think of like wedding videos, it's a bigger thing, because it's like it may be a once in a lifetime experience. Correct. So how do you go about sort of catering for how unique it is to the individual, or well, to the couple, you know?
Well, I think the first thing for us is that we recognize that we're not just selling a dress. There's always a bigger story and a bigger vision behind it. You know, the customer journey, if you like, or the bride's journey with any bridal vendors is actually a very personal one. So, you know, from the first time they get to know about our brand, Eternal Bridal, whether or not if it's true online, social media, word of mouth, or walking past the store, to the many appointments that we would have had with them, you know, prior to them getting married, to them actually picking up their dress, doing their final alterations and fit, you know, it's a journey. So I think for us, a lot of it is about understanding that, you know, essentially what we do is we are privileged in so many ways that we're able to be part of that journey, because it is a beautiful journey. You know, it's a very highly emotional journey to a lot of brides. It's a very joyful moment, and often it's not just about the brides, it's about the mum as well, it's about the bridesmaids, it's about the sisters and the dad that all comes together, because everybody wanted to be involved. So, you know, the fact that you understand so much about what their vision is about, you understand about how they actually met the fiance, you actually make a lot of friends along the way, and I think that's what makes it special. Obviously, I mean, the products, the designs, the styles, the designer that we work with, all these are just elements for us to be able to connect with them. But ultimately, it's a people-to-people business.
That must be a very satisfying part of it.
Oh, it definitely is. It's very demanding as well at the same time. But yeah, no, there's so many moments that I mean, myself in Eternal Bridal, I do not see brides one-on-one on a daily basis. On special occasions, on some of the VIP brides, I do. I mean, obviously, Lindo and my team, they do have that one-on-one connection on a daily basis. But even for me, I mean, there are so many occasions whereby just to see that chemistry and just to see the family bond and to hear about how they've met, the two families coming together. Mate, I'm a man, but I'll tell you, there's so many instances whereby I just kind of hold off my tears, man.
Yeah.
It's beautiful. Yeah. It's really beautiful to watch.
That's really awesome. I mean, on the face of it, you just see the dress or whatever, but there's so much more to the business when you're dealing with people's journeys and stories and that. So yeah, that's that personal element. This is the thing. This is just what I'm realizing in like anything that you do. Like if the heart's not there, people know.
Don't waste the time.
It's very hard to convince or make true connections. Even in business, if your heart's just not in it, because
I can't agree more. I mean, what's the point, right? At the end of the day, you got to question yourself as well, because as you say, as we get more mature, I wouldn't say older, right? But as the more mature we get, I mean, there's obviously more responsibilities. Our time is spread thin between business and work and career and family. If you don't have the true heart and intention in what you do, then why waste the time? Why waste the time?
Again, it comes back to time, huh? But I mean,
correct.
It's interesting for me because I've sort of come in at the stage like catching up with you. It's sort of like the recipe, here's the before, and I've sort of skipped the making, and here's the after, the business is successful and running. I imagine in those early days there was a whole heap of challenges and hurdles. Like was it like just a massive grind of hours and trial and error and finding the right people? And
yes, all of the above. And the business is still going through a lot of challenges. I mean, and I think the business will continue to go through many, many challenges. I don't think it's so much so about being so good that you won't have any challenges. I think it's a matter of having to be able to A, lead, and B, to have the team to have the same spirit to understand that no matter what challenges comes, we as a team, we're going to overcome it. I mean, 2019 to 2022, when COVID happens, as in Australia and the most part of the world, I mean, it literally, weddings came to a halt. Our boutique in Melbourne, out of that three years period, I think we were shut because of the government lockdown for a total of 250 odd days. It's one of the longest lockdown city in the world, right? I think after Sao Paulo, if I'm not mistaken. So, the past 3-4 years has been challenging, and coming into 2023 as well. I mean, we're coming to the end now, but I mean, 2023 brings its own challenges as well. Challenges will always be a part of the business, and that's what I think. But over the years, I'm very lucky as well, because you've met Lindo. She's a very, very hardworking, intelligent lady as well. But I think throughout the years, if there's anything that the business have thought is that, it doesn't matter what the challenges will be. I mean, as long as we understand and we believe that we're able to overcome it, we will find our way.
Absolutely, man. The challenges never stop. It's like how you evolve and adapt.
Right.
Adapt, It's 100%. It is classic though, because you're right, in that pandemic time, like, from a business sense, you think of the things you can always rely on, right? People need haircuts. People need this. There's things that are like a sure thing. And weddings is one of those. Weddings is one of but all of a sudden, even the weddings are off the table. It's like, that's your niche.
Correct. Yep.
Yeah, wow.
That's our everything.
Yeah, I didn't think of that, because I noticed here as well, some weddings go down and stuff. But it must be... I just think it's an awesome dynamic, having met you guys, you and Linda, when you first got together. Like, that must be, that's a whole thing of itself. The fact that you guys have this life partnership and this business partnership. That would obviously have its challenges as well, but I really admire how you balance your time, between for me, like as an art, what I'm doing and as an artist, you know, my son for a while, he got a bit confused about like when is daddy working and when is he not, you know. And it was I didn't have a very clear you know, with creativity and art and stuff, it can all kind of I didn't have a very clear but the more I got
routine.
The more I actually reined that in and got my like schedule and routine and that side of things, my time with him became much more quality because he was much more clear, because he would come in to the office or whatever and he's like, I don't know if daddy's working right now or what, you know, should I, obviously keep him aware of everything I'm doing. He's part of that. But anyway, this very clear structure of time helped me as a family have more quality time with him. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, 100%. It is a balancing act, definitely. I mean, just the chemistry between Lino and I, from a business side and from a personal side, and you know, in a family. It took us about 6 years, DT, to understand how do we best work in harmony. 6 years.
Took us
6 years in a business.
Yeah.
But we got there. But I mean, I think there's an old saying that, you know, the easiest to break a relationship is to go in the business together with your partner. And that's true in so many degrees. So it's, I mean, don't get me wrong. I've seen a lot of couples as well that runs really successful business. And at the same time, I've seen a lot of relationship that's broken down because of business as well.
It's a balancing
business.
I just think it's a real like credit to you guys that you've been able to do that, because like you say, it shows real strength of what you guys have to be able to back each other up and do that. So
thank you, man, appreciate it.
Yeah, it's very cool. So do you, obviously, is it all local? You use local materials, like the team
design? Our journey with Eternal Brother, we've evolved a fair bit over the past, I mean, we're in business now for 14 years now, next year will be our 15 years. When we first started, Linda was predominantly doing a lot of design herself. That was the beginning of Eternal Brother. That's where we had Lindo and one salesperson in the store. You know, for the first 2 years of the start of Eternal Bridal store, I was working 7 days, 5 days in architecture, Saturday and Sunday. I would turn into a storekeeper, if you like, working alongside with Lindo. So I think in the beginning, we sort of started with Lindo designing her own dresses as well. And I think it was in 2011, I think, or 2012, that we decided that, hey, you know what, we kind of see in terms of the market, everyone is sort of swimming towards one direction, you know, where they want to make it as affordable as possible, as value money as possible, and that's where the majority of the pool are swimming towards. We sort of took a deliberate decision to basically swim the other direction. So I think it was in early 2012 that we started working exclusively with designer labels from New York. So Lindo, I remembered, flew to New York after we started chatting to a big design house in America. Lindo flew to New York and we decided that, you know what, this is something that we haven't seen in the market. We feel that this is going to bring something different to the market. And that's our first sort of attempt to work with an international label. Fast forward about, 10 years later, what we are known now in Australia as a bridal brand is that we are the go-to place for your sort of luxury and premium designer labels. That's who we are now.
Ah, cool. I love this analogy of like swimming the other way, you know.
Yeah, it's a risky move, but I think in the long run, if you do it right, you know, it's risky. I mean, but that's with most things as well, right? Up to a certain degree, you got to be able to take a certain level of risk, just to really test it out, right?
The thing is, you you guys are just an example of like going all in on it, you know, and being willing to take that risk, particularly with a family. Mm-hmm. Like that's not an easy thing to do, but those risks, regardless of which way, you know, the outcome, they're always like, they teach you things. They, you can pivot, you know, it's not until you throw down in one direction. Maybe it doesn't go how you think it's going to go, but it always teaches you something, right?
Oh, 100%.
Mm.
Yeah.
And I imagine like there's a heap of, like, you've done like big catwalk events and so on to display
yeah,
all of,
it's, yeah. Correct. I mean, it's actually a part of the business and the industry that I really enjoy. So my sort of role at Eternal Bridal is I look after obviously relationship with designers. I look after the marketing side. So, you know, so I work with my marketing team, you know, on our social media, Instagram and TikTok, heaps of fun, heaps of things to learn. But a big part of what makes Eternal Bridal unique in our region is that it was about 10 years ago where we decided, because I travel to New York often on a yearly basis, I would travel to New York to look at different designers, to attend runways, et cetera, et cetera. And I realized that it was something that Australia have never seen before. I mean, yes, we do have some of the fashion runway, but never one that was designed specifically around bridal. So I think it was in 2012 when I came back and I said to Lindo, we ought to do something like this because we're missing out big time in Australia, you know? So 12 years ago, we did our first showcase up here in Sydney. And I remembered reaching out to a lot of industry friends as well about this big plan and, you know, getting everyone together. And you know, we had our first ever bridal show, a runway, if you like. And it was amazing. It was so successful. It brought the industry together. It was nothing like the industry I've seen before. It obviously brought all the media partners, all the brides together. And, you know, ever since we've run many, many showcases, it's now a big part of our DNA.
That's awesome, man, that you found this, you brought it to Australia, like it hadn't really been done. And so you've also had to be like a bit of an event organizer as well, right?
Correct. But I mean, for me, I enjoy that part. Yeah. I enjoy talking to people. I mean, if people have the same sort of, you know, often it's not about selling people something that they don't need. It's not about that, right? It's about, hey, I've got this idea. It always starts with an idea, right? I've got this idea. And if you're able to sort of create something that is, that makes sense, something that is meaningful for not just yourself, but everyone that is involved. You know, the media partners that comes along, the venue, the, you know, the people that helps with the food and the catering, the models, the makeup artists, the hairstylists. If everyone understand the vision and if everyone can, I wouldn't say win, but if everyone can sort of see the value in what we're doing, then it makes sense. So yeah, 12 years later, we're still doing many, many different showcases. We're now planning for two rather big one next year in February and May, whereby we're introducing two new additional international designers that will be joining Eternal Bridal. But yeah, it's fun, it's dynamic, it's meaningful, and I enjoy it. I love it.
Again, it goes back to like that vision and the spirit of your team and like everyone being on the same page and the ethos of it. Seb, you've always been a man of the people, you know? So it's like...
I think we all are. That's why there's a few of us that really click, right? I mean, work is work. You know, work up to a certain degree, there's a lot of, I wouldn't say rules, but there's a lot of framework around it, you know? But outside of work, you know, when you're having a chat, when you're hanging out, that's when you really understand each other. Because what I mean, yes, you spend a lot of hours, but you can understand that's one part of our life, you know. So I think we all are. Yeah, we all are. I remember yourself, definitely Adrian, Darren. You know, everyone is super fun, man. Yeah.
It was unique guys.
Yeah.
Sure. For anybody who's like. Maybe a bit stuck and trying to make a transition into something new like you guys did, maybe take a bit of a risk. What would you say to them?
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weight loss. That's PlushCare.com/weight loss. PlushCare.com/weight loss.
I think that's a very hard question. That's a very hard question because everyone could at any one point be at a bit of a roadblock. But everyone's position will be quite different in terms of the road that they've traveled through before. The things that they feel that they're risking is so different. I think for me the biggest drive behind everything that I do or we do as a family unit is that I don't want to be in a position whereby I want to, you know, one day I'll look back and say, I wish I would have tried that. I think that's, you know, you would have heard this many times before, up to a certain degree, it's a bit cliche as well, but it is true though. You know, have you not tried it? How would you know? Right? And we always work on the case of what's the worst case that could happen if we decide to do this and if we fail. I think that's the two biggest questions for us.
That's massive. That's massive, man. Like I'm the same. It's like, you know, touch wood, get to being an older bloke and like sitting there and it's like, you know, there's going to be regrets, right? But it's more like, I knew I had a swing at that, you know, and I had a swing and it didn't necessarily work out. But it's like I had the swing and it's like, I'm cool. If I take the swing and it doesn't work, that's cool because at least I've had the swing at it. You know, that's totally fine.
Yes.
That regret would be there if it's like, I wish I'd taken the swing, you know, as opposed to taking it.
I kind of agree more, man. The simple thought of, you know, when I know we're not quite there yet, and we're not even halfway there yet, right? Hopefully, but I mean the thought of, you know, at the end, because at the end of it, what really matters to you, right? I mean, to me, everything that I have done till date, I don't think I'm chasing anything, DT. It sounds really funny that I say that because, you know, I'm surrounded with a small group of friends, but very, very close. You know, some friends, they're doing exceptionally well. And I'm talking about these people that when I hang around there, I'm like, wow, you guys are running like 200 miles an hour, da-da-da-da, very successful in their own rights. And I have some friends that I just simply love hanging out and super chill, super laid back. And they will constantly ask me, they're like, Seb, you know, you're working so hard, man. You're chasing this and I'm chasing that. I try to explain to them that I'm actually not chasing anything. I mean, for me, these are all my personal agendas. I wanted to do it because I wanted to do it. You know, I think I'm done and I've realized that, look, I'm not going to play anyone's game. I'm not going to chase anyone's dream. Because at the end of the day, you will never stop comparing. I mean, what is the point? But if you do things that matters to you, like you said, right, you know, whether or not if you're successful, whether or not if you fail, or whether or not you're kind of halfway there. You know, the fact is you gave it a really good shot and that matters to you. So when you look back, you go, you know what? I did it. I tried it. I gave it my all. There's no regret there.
The thing is, you're also directly impacting the lives of people and their experiences. They're very, as I say, perhaps once in a lifetime experience. So as much as it's...
Correct. And that makes it beautiful.
Yeah. As much as it's fulfilling for you guys to see that knock on and all that, like that's got to be really, really satisfying, right?
Yeah, I mean that's why bridal. I mean it's a unique business. It's a very niche business, but it's very meaningful, very, very meaningful.
For sure, man. Where can people find it all? Like, there's obviously the main sites and everything. What's the best way to check it all out? And you as well, like.
Yeah, I mean we're now located in both Melbourne and Sydney. So Melbourne, we've moved around a few locations, but right now we're in Sapphire on Chapel Street, right opposite to Gem Factory.
Ah, cool. I
Yeah,
didn't realize
obviously.
you have a front, like a boutique store there, right there.
Yeah,
Ah,
we have a
awesome.
boutique. That's right opposite to Gem Factory. Obviously, Chapel Street, as you would remember, is like the fashion capital, is the where all the high-end fashion is. In Sydney, we're located in the Strand Arcade, which is in the city. Right opposite to Apple Store, we're surrounded by all the biggest retailers as well, all the LVMH brand. So certainly we do have quite a good presence and prominent presence in both Melbourne and Sydney. But social media is a big part of what Eternal Bridal is as well. So if you go on to Instagram at Eternal Bridal, go on to our TikTok, which is again, it's such a new platform to me until 12 months ago when I really dropped my head into it. But we're quite prominent on those two platforms, yeah.
Yeah, awesome,
And for
man.
me, how do you find me? I'm just another guy, man. You'll find
Well,
me on DT's podcast. That's where you'll find me.
no, but I think what you're doing is quite inspiring. And as a mate, I mean, I love to just pick up where we left off, but also just
Yeah.
in terms of I always have a massive amount of respect when I see someone else just taking a swing and going at their yeah, it's really awesome to see.
Thank you, man. And likewise as well, man. I've been obviously watching your journey and career as well. And it's very, very exciting for me to see as well. I wanted to see that you're able to grow as well, individually as an artist, obviously a unit as a family, as a unit as well. But you did the same thing, man. You took the leap of faith. You went with where your heart wants to go.
I appreciate
And I
that.
think
Yeah.
I think that's probably something that is very easy to say, but it's very hard to do.
Very much so. And in my case, like looking back a little bit, to not only move to a foreign country and then to change my career path into the arts and into the entertainment industry and storytelling and film. I had people tell me, I had to be very realistic about it. I had to be like, I have a family and so on. Is this really like realistically, is this the time to, but again, for my son, I'm like, if my son doesn't witness me having a swing at the things that I love, that's not necessarily the best for him. If I'm stuck in a job that's affecting my health, that's worse than him seeing me swing at things and fail, you know what I mean? Because he's seeing me, our kids just watch us all the time, right? They're observing us. So anyway,
Oh, 100%. Yeah.
to come to Germany and then go, all right, I'm going to pursue acting and film and storytelling. It was like people
Yeah.
literally said, you are crazy, like you are crazy to my face. And
yeah, correct.
I understood where it was coming from, but it kind of drove me at the same time. I was like, I believe I can do this, and I believe I can do this anywhere, and I believe I have unique things to offer, regardless of just being an Australian in Germany. So then I was like, went through this whole process of eventually getting to a point like you did, where I'm like, how can I take this more into my own hands, as opposed to sort of trying to hit the gatekeepers and not knock on all the doors. And that's, in the past few years, that's when I've got very much focused on like making my own stuff. And but I had to go through this massive amount of learning and experience and trial and error, as we all do. So but yeah,
100%.
it's
Yeah,
been.
I mean, I'm gonna tell you something, and I don't want to freak you up, but this is a bit, the timing of this is just a bit freaky. I'll tell you what, right? Now, because I'm in my study room, it doesn't have the best lighting. So I actually had my computer screen open, right? That's where I'm resting my phone. Okay. Now, the computer is locked on to Linda's email, personal email, I think this is, all right? I'm not supposed to be looking at her email. But I saw a name that was very familiar, Kristen.
Ah, okay.
You remember Kristen, right? Kristen. Kristen was my mentor for good 2 to 3 years at Design Inc. He took me under his wing. He gave it all to me, man. The good and the bad, like old school, old days schooling. It's like if I don't know if I can say the F word, but you know,
You can. You can.
if I fuck up in front of everyone, he'd be like, "Seth, what the fuck is this?" Blah blah blah. He really taught some. You know, some real hard values into my early stage of my career. So I remember that Kristen and Rowan actually. And I remember it was last year that, you know, after all these years of living, you know, Dink, I said that I said to Linda, I really want to visit Rowan and Kristen and just to take them out for lunch and just to say the things that I never knew and that I never valued so much when I was going through it. I knew that I was under good hands. You know, I knew that I was working hard as well, but I never knew of the value that it will later help in my career in so many ways. So long story short, we haven't been in touch on a regular basis, but I just saw 4 days ago, he actually sent Lindo an email. I'm just reading this and Lindo hasn't informed me yet. The title is Seb's 40th. Sent from Chris. I'm turning 40, by the way, in the next 3 days, TT.
Oh, in
Crazy,
3 days. Wow.
I know. I'm gonna hit my midlife crisis
I
very
love
soon.
it. I
Anyway, a beautiful email from Kristen. Hi, Linda, hope you're well. These milestones are great. Enjoy the party. Congrats, Seb, as you celebrate your 40th birthday. You join us at Dink, young, fresh, and very enthusiastic. You were always trying to run ahead, ambitious, questioning, and with a bright future in front of you. Your move from architecture has been a successful step. You were ready. You and Lino now will, with a lovely family and a glowing business. Congrats, Seb, in all that you've achieved. Here's to your next milestone. Oh,
Man, that's awesome. That's so cool that he's done that, like to appreciate.
yeah, no, I mean, no, I mean, the fact is, like you said, right? Every steps of you, sorry to cut you off there, right?
No.
But every steps of the journey that we've been through, you might not understand it at that time. You might not see the reason. But eventually, you know, the universe works in a weird way. Eventually, it will come to your realization that you will go, oh, that happened for that reason. I went to, you know, one of the biggest and the most successful firm in architecture in Melbourne for a reason. There's a reason why there was this gentleman that really took the effort in schooling me. I mean, all of this, it all makes sense sometimes. It will make
It
sense. It
really
will make
does.
sense.
It makes sense in
Yeah.
hindsight. It's hard to see it at the time, but then in hindsight it makes sense. And those
Isn't it funny?
that's hilarious, man. And those I'm just not sure how Lyndall's gonna react opening the emails,
Nah, she'll be fine. She knows my password as well.
That's
We're a
part of
unit, remember?
the part. No, like you say, in hindsight, like you may not realize it at the time, but then you, I mean, I went to London to try and become a rock star, right? And I, as a result of that experience, call it a failure. Like it was an amazing experience, but it fell apart. But as a result, I ended up in Germany with a family, which was a far greater gift. And also the experience in London was very much like accelerated, like self-growth, because I was on stages and things were going wrong and I was trying to so what I'm saying is the reason I went there, I had kind of a bit of a superficial, I'm gonna be, it wasn't, I was very determined. It was like I want to really
You're
like,
chasing
but
a dream. You're chasing
yeah,
a dream,
chasing
yeah.
ch absolutely chasing a dream. But what it gave me was so much more valuable, but it also what it gave me was so different to what I anticipated, right? But now, like you're saying, in
Yeah.
hindsight, I'm like, I wouldn't have wanted it any other way.
You wouldn't have ended up in Germany.
So
I mean, you know what I mean? We start seeing all these points together. It's like, so sometimes I think sometimes we, you know, you can question as much as you want. You can always ponder upon, you know, one particular issue for as long as you want. You can always contemplate for as long as you want. Or sometimes you could just go, you know what? My gut is telling me that this is right. I've discussed this with my partner. I think this is the best for me, for us. Give it a shot.
And and Seb,
it
have
to make sense.
Absolutely, I have to say, I don't think there's a midlife crisis for you at 40 because you're doing what you like. Like you said, you're not chasing, man. You've been working towards this stuff. I think that crisis can maybe happen when you get to that and you're like, I haven't been taking these swings. I haven't, you know, had, that's when it's like, what am I doing? So I know you're joking, but I don't think there's any danger of, you know what I mean? The more I've got in line with at least trying to go towards my dreams, the better that has been for me. You know, there's no crisis for me. That doesn't put aside like the challenges and all that, but it's like, you know, this is why I just think like, you know, I mean, you look at the Rolling Stones and stuff, they're like fucking 80, 90, but they're still rocking on. And I'm like, how are they not like, they should have fallen over 100 times, but it's all
in here, right?
Yeah. They're doing what they love. You know, they have been their entire life. Yeah. So it's like, it's a weird thing. But,
it's inspiration, right? But again, I mean, that's the thing. I don't think that they're not doing it for anyone. Mm. They're not chasing no one's dreams. You know, it's so much of it is my personal agenda, is my personal journey, is my, you know, I even go as far as saying that it's not so much about the money. I mean, don't get me wrong, money is important. Let's face it, right? Business, for businessmen to say that money is not important, I call it a bullshit. Straight on. For me, it's not about chasing that. It's important. It's a big part of the business. Don't get me wrong. But what keeps me ticking every day, man, it's not that. It's about, all right, what else can I do? What else can I create? What other things can I create? And something that is meaningful, that is impactful. Something that, you know, I want to look back when I'm 80 or 90 years old and go, remember DT about the show that we did together? That was fucking phenomenal. Fuck, we did lose a lot of money, but you know what? That was the best fucking party ever. You know, it's things like that. You know, it's to me, that's happy, man. To me, that's rich, you know, to be able to really give it a go. You know, that's everything. That's everything.
Yeah, for sure, man. For sure. Well, we could really, we could go on. We have, like you say, we have to do it in person. I haven't drunk in like 5 years, but whiskey in hand, some
oh,
sort of.
Oh, really?
Yeah. No, when my priorities really changed when, particularly with my son and just time. And I just, it wasn't serving me like my, you know, it just wasn't serving. London was obviously quite a big time. And then, you know, the whole band tour kind of touring thing, but, alcohol just, it just no longer served me because it was just slowing me down and my focus. And, it was one of those things that kind of had a little bit of a grip on me in a way of like, I'm not cool that I'm seeing some nights where it's perhaps gone a bit too far. So anyway, I was like, I'm just going to do a month or whatever. And then next thing you know, it was 5 years. So,
wow. So you're talking about completely no.
Yeah. I had a whiskey.
That's
with
impressive, man.
Yeah. Thank you. I had a whiskey with a friend about 5 years ago in like a whiskey room. And I was just like, oh, I think I'm going to just give it, you know, maybe a month or so.
Yeah,
and then
at the
end of the month, I was like, I'm going to keep it rolling. And then next thing you know, it was like 5 years. But, you know, I go a little bit extremes. I swing one way and then the other. It would be nice to find the middle a bit more, but I just have a sort of a bit like, I'll have coffee and then it's like, no coffee, you know, just kick it. There can be more of a middle, I think, you know?
Yeah, right. Well, we'll see when we meet up. You know, it doesn't always have to be whiskey. I'm happy with coffee as well. All I want is some quality time to really reconnect, man. It's,
absolutely. Absolutely.
I feel, you know, there's so many people that I remembered and I cherish. You know, I will cherish forever from our period together, you know, at the company, at the firm. You know, Alex is doing some amazing things as well. Alex and Sharon in the UK.
Yeah.
It's inspiring to see. I mean, obviously, Adrian has moved on very well as well in the company. I see Kristen and Rowan still being so passionate in what they do. I mean, these are all great people, man. All great people.
Definitely, man. Definitely. So,
I mean, that's not right or wrong. It's not, you know, it's not in or out of architecture. At the end of the day, you know, it's everyone doing what they love, and this is what they love, and it's inspiring.
Yeah, I appreciate you reminding me of all that, and it's very timely of the email too, because
it's freaky, man.
Yeah, well, the timing of things, you know, timing of things is always
100%. And, you know, everything happened for a reason.
Yeah, for sure. But Seb, I really like. It's been awesome to see your journey, and it's great to pick up where we left off. And let's do it in person.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.